Your relationship with your body is the longest relationship you will ever be in. You must have unconditional permission to eat in order to make peace with food. What is your self-talk like about your body? If you wouldn't say that to a loved one about their body, what makes it okay to say it to yourself? This is a safe virtual space where we are going to dig into deep heart-to-heart combos that all come back to our relationships with food and body. Welcome back to another episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sam Previtt, and I am delighted that you're here. And I'm so freaking excited because today we have guests. And, you know, oftentimes I'm alone on this podcast, but when I get to talk to people, it just makes me so happy. And I am so beyond honored for today's guests. We had Elise Rush and Caitlin Cordell on. They are the co-founders of the Into app. Now, you might recognize Elise's name because she is one of the co-founders of intuitive eating. Yes, you heard that correct. If you've practiced intuitive eating, if you have read the book Intuitive Eating, Elise Rush is one of the co-founders alongside Evelyn Triboli. And Elise just blows me away. I always love talking to her and just hearing her wisdom on not only intuitive eating, but just life in general. And so today you're going to hear a conversation where we get to get some inside scoop that there is an intuitive eating app hitting the market. And this makes me so happy because there is so much bullshit out there that pretends to be intuitive eating, that uses the intuitive eating language and co-opts it. But we are so lucky that there's a real intuitive eating app, and I can't wait to try it. I'm going to be a part of their beta test coming up here where I can get into the app. I can trial it. So as someone who's walked my own intuitive eating journey, but also has a team that supports people on their intuitive eating journey, I am so excited to give this a try. So before we hop into today's episode, I do want to share one Find Food Freedom win of the week. This is a DM that I got this past week that I screenshotted. Basically, I just screenshot all of these wins of the week, and they just bring me so much joy. So this said, Sam, love you, love your content, with some exclamation points. Thank you so much for popping up on my feed a few years ago. Intuitive eating is life changing. This page is what started healing my relationship with food, which was such a point of suffering for most of my life. Thank you. With the happy crying emoji. What a beautiful and perfectly curated Find Food Freedom win of the week to share today, where we are talking about intuitive eating with one of the co-founders of intuitive eating. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh my goodness, I want intuitive eating support, please know that we have a team of registered dietitians and certified intuitive eating counselors at Find Food Freedom who would love to support you, who would be honored to support you. And we accept health insurance. You can click the link in the show notes below. We're licensed in 26 states. Most people have no idea that they have these benefits. So if you're walking an intuitive eating journey, if you're trying to heal your relationship with food and body, please check your insurance benefits. And if for any reason at all that you do not have insurance coverage with our team, we will gift you a free month of the Find Food Freedom membership, which includes 3 live calls with a certified intuitive eating counselor and dietitian on our team. So thank you so much for being here. And I'm just so excited for this episode. So let's get into it with Elise and Caitlin. All right. So I have Elise Rush and Caitlin Cordell, the co-founders of the Into app here today. And I'm so excited to talk about not only the app, but all things intuitive eating and just how things are changing with technology and whatnot. We also have, like I said, Elise Rush here, who is one of the co-founders of intuitive eating. And I did fact check this that before we started recording, the last time I talked to Elise was around her 80th birthday, which I'm going to scream from the rooftops. I don't know if you want me to, Elise, I should have asked you that, but okay. I think it's freaking incredible. Everything you have done in the field of dietetics and that you're continuing to do and staying so relevant with the times and into, I can't wait to get into it. So thank you both for being here with me today.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. Of course. Okay. You would think that anybody listening to this podcast probably has heard of intuitive eating before. Since my practice, Find Food Freedom, we are rooted in intuitive eating and weight inclusive care. But just in case, let's say someone found a video, this is the first time they're ever listening, hearing this. Elise, I would love for you to give us an elevator pitch. What is intuitive eating?
Well, it's so interesting because it's so misinterpreted out there in the world. So many people say, oh, it's the hunger fullness diet, and that's so reductionist. It isn't that at all. I came up with a definition for it a number of years ago when it was very misinterpreted in some talk that someone was giving. They said, oh, no, it's just about, intuition, and that's all instinct, and you really can't eat by instinct alone, which is true, because intuitive eating, and this is the definition I like the most, it's a dynamic interplay of instinct, emotion, and thought. So it's pulling together all parts of our brain. We can't just go by instinct alone. What if we, have a cold and we're not hungry, but we know we need to eat? Or what if emotions take us away from our internal signals? So then we can use our rational, logical part of our brains to say, whoa, I really need to take care of myself. And I think that explains it to people. It does happen to be a self-care framework based on 10, principles, which are sometimes people like to turn them into rules, which, again, hunger fullness diet, eat exactly when you're hungry, stop exactly when you're full. And it's not that at all. They're just kind of ways of changing your mindset about things like, is food good or bad, healthy or unhealthy? No. I like to say all foods are emotionally equivalent, meaning you don't feel good about yourself because you ate broccoli. And then since I've got some new black jelly beans around, I think you don't feel bad about yourself for eating green jelly beans if I'm going to make them the same color as the broccoli. So it's an anti-diet approach, and it's a way of challenging diet culture that has, elevated a certain ideal, which is thin fit lately. It's been very thin, and now it's more thin fit, which is something that's unrealistic for the majority of people to attain. And then people feel so bad about themselves. And it also, as I say, elevates certain foods and pushes down other foods as negative and bad. And that makes people feel bad. I mean, it's really about helping you tune in to the wisdom that you're born with. I mean, you have a couple of babies, Sam. Well, they may not be babies anymore, but
I wish.
When they were hungry, what'd they do? They cried.
Mm-hmm. And they sure did.
You fed them because you knew that that was their signal that they needed to be fed. And so babies know that when they're done, you can't push more food into them. They'll fill around and, push their way out of it. And we lose our being in touch with those signals. Also, what tastes good? There's so much out there about parents really want to be good parents. Let me say that. They want to do the best thing for their children. But they are often giving them messages that are not helpful. Like, eat this before you eat that. Before you get your dessert, eat your, as I said, broccoli. And what does that do? It just makes, quote unquote, dessert the thing that's forbidden until you do something else to get it, and then it gets so exciting. And so we want to equalize all foods and be in touch with how your body feels and how satisfied you are when you're eating. I think I'm going on and on, so you can stop me.
I love it. I could listen to you talk about intuitive eating for hours. So right? You always speak so eloquently about it. And that's the hard thing about intuitive eating, is it's so complex, and it's not just one thing or one step, and it's so nuanced and so different for everybody. Like, when you could talk to 100 different people in a room that have gone through an intuitive eating journey and consider themselves intuitive eaters, and they're going to explain it differently based on how they relate to it as well. Mm-hmm. So I love what you said, but I still can't get this out of my head. What flavor is black jelly beans? What is that?
Licorice.
It's licorice.
And they're my favorite. I could throw out all the other colors, but just give me the black. So I ordered some
This is why we have a great partnership, because I hate the licorice jelly beans. So I'll eat all the other ones and okay. Eat the licorice.
It's and you perfect. Get those. Perfect. I was going to say, you would love, have you been to Greece before, Elise? Because the licorice, liquor there, it's raki that they serve with the meals. I'm like, but I think you would love it. So we're going to have to get you to Greece. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for just kind of setting the groundwork for our listeners with that. And so, for people listening, with Fine Food Freedom, I am a certified intuitive eating counselor under Evelyn and Elise. And I really, you know, teach out of the intuitive eating model. And it's so funny because when clients found us or my practice on TikTok, they think that we created intuitive eating. And I'm like, no. This has been around since 1995. We're on, I have the fourth edition behind me. I believe you are in works of fifth edition,
right?
So this has been around for a very long time. And so today, now we're talking about this app that you two co-founded. And so I would love to hear how did we get to this place where you're like, you know what? I think we need an app for intuitive eating. What was the why behind it? And what is the purpose that you hope it serves for users?
Well, first I'll tell you the why, and then, you know, Caitlin can tell you a little bit more about the app itself. But for years and years and years, I have thought, wouldn't it be amazing, as long as I haven't been on social media that long, but seeing how everybody seems to be kind of Velcroed to their phones, and especially the young people, and I have thought, what an amazing addition to intuitive eating to have an app. I don't have those skills. Caitlin does. She comes from a whole different world than I come from. I admire her deeply for her brilliance. In any case, I thought this would be amazing. And then Caitlin contacted me and was like, yeah. She said, would you like to collaborate and create this app? And I was absolutely, you know how things just come to you when you really, really want them? And I could have never have done it on my own. So that's the why, is to be able to spread the word to more people, but spread the word to people who say, I don't have time to read a book. I can't afford to go see a counselor. I need something else to teach this to me, because so many people are trapped in diet culture. So really it's to be something that helps people out of this horrible world where they feel bad about themselves and start trusting their own wisdom and feeling good about their eating and their bodies.
I love that. I'm so excited to get into the app itself. I know I'm on that list that I will be let in at some point and test it before it's live. But so, Caitlin, if you can explain to us a little bit about your background, I'm just so interested to learn what you do in your world. And then as you guys built the app, just some of what it does, is it, because as someone who hasn't been in it yet, is it explaining intuitive eating? Is it giving you feedback? Like, how are you walking through it? So anything you're willing to share, I would love to hear.
Yeah. So I'm like kind of an alien from another planet, kind of visiting all of the certified intuitive eating counselors and therapists who are working with intuitive eating day to day. I just come from kind of a patient. I'm like a patient founder. Like, I came from having my own intuitive eating journey. But I was in the business world, and I was, I don't think I was doing anything like that actually was helping people. But having been on my own intuitive eating journey, I remember actually one day I was scrolling through my like app download history, like going years back. I think I was looking for like a game I had played, you know, years ago. And I was just, it struck me just how many apps I had downloaded over the years that were related to dieting. It was like diet programs and calorie trackers and fitness trackers and all of these things. And it was just kind of, I was just kind of realizing like how much time I had spent in my life just pursuing this thing that was only making my like disordered eating behaviors worse and only making me feel worse about myself. And it just kind of hit me. I was like, I had done intuitive eating, you know, with my therapist and as kind of a self-study, but I was just imagining, what if, you know, at one point in my early 20s, instead of my late 20s, I had come across an intuitive eating app. What if I had found it earlier on in my life and I hadn't gone down that, like, you know, 15th diet route? And it hit me. It was like, you know, we need to have, intuitive eating needs to have something out there. Like, there needs to be an alternative out there for people who are feeling lost in their relationship with food. And the only place to turn on their phone, it seems these days, unless they happen to come across someone like you, Sam, or Elise, what if there was an alternative and it was intuitive eating? And that kind of got the ball rolling. And I'll just say that I like sent Elise an email out of the blue, and she was gracious enough not just to respond to the email, but then to get on the phone with me. And it was so amazing because I had the idea for an app kind of in my mind. And but I was not about to be, you know, like, hey, Lisa, you don't know me, but like, can I take, you know, your entire life's work and turn it into an app? I was kind of like, I'll just get to know her and see how I can get involved. And a few minutes into the conversation, Elise brought it up, was like, you know, yeah, there really needs to be an app out there. And kind of just very kindly and graciously kind of turned to me and was like, is that something that you can help with? And I think I tried to play it off really cool. Like, oh, wow, you know, so interesting. Let me think about that. And inside, I'm just like exploding with excitement. And it's been an amazing ride ever since.
What a beautiful origin story of how you two came together. And I feel like that's how some of the best work is created, when it just, like, I think Elise had said this before, but how it just feels like it happens almost. It's like, oh, it's so easy. It's just, it's kind of coming to me. And for you, Caitlin, the whole time you were telling the story about how you've been on an intuitive eating journey, you're passionate about this. I mean, how cool is it that your co-founder sitting with you is the co-founder of Intuitive Eating?
I know. Believe me, I like every day I kind of am just like, is this real life? Like, is this happening?
So cool.
I have to say though, I think that's like, I'm kind of new to this community. And I think what's so amazing is there's so many, like, I just listened to Taylor Swift this morning. There's so many like eldest daughters. There's so many people, I think Sam, like you, like Elise and so many others who have kind of made it up the mountain through their own eating struggles and are now, you know, working to like throw a rope down to help others. Mm-hmm. There's so much of that. And I think that really speaks to how inspirational and transformative intuitive eating has been for people, that, you know, you find intuitive eating and it's like, yes, like this needs to happen. More people need to know about this. And you kind of make it your life's journey. I think that's really beautiful and really speaks to how powerful intuitive eating is.
Absolutely. And for most people, once they hear about it, they're like, I can't unhear this. Like, I can't go back.
Yeah.
Although diet culture is always trying to like put its claws in us and rip us back. And there's always triggers and all of the things. And it's a lifelong journey. I think it's like, once you really start on an intuitive eating journey, I really feel like it's impossible to go back to a life of dieting.
I was I was listening to your podcast about Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it was last year's that you had.
Yes. I did record one this year and the audio got botched, but that's technology for you.
It was just so wonderful to see young people bringing up their kids without giving them the message, you know, this is bad, or you should only have two pieces, or we're only going to keep it around for 3 days. And what does that tell them? You know, this is something I shouldn't do, shouldn't have, and it just elevates it. And so anyway, thank you for that podcast. That was great.
Of course. And I think all parents, but I think of, you know, in the season of life I'm in as a young parent, when you see the messages that these parents, these new parents are getting fed. I mean, diet culture is seeping down into formula now. It used to be like breast is best and like pushing breastfeeding and shaming people who have formula. Now I feel like we got to a point where it's like, oh no, we're accepting of all types of feeding. But now you have these people in Costco that are picking up jars of formula and being like, this is poison. And it's, and moms are afraid to feed their children. And it is diet culture is seeping lower and lower and lower. So the intuitive eating work is just so important for everyone. But as you bring up parents, you know, we support a lot of parents. And like you said before, Elise, I think parents want to do the best for their children. And that's why when they see these fear mongering videos, they think, oh, I have to do something. So I'm so grateful for this app and can't wait to see that it can hopefully help more and more and more people out there. So let's talk about the app. Let's say I download the app, I get into the app. What is the user experience like? Or for those listening, once, you know, they're able to download the app, which obviously we'll put all of those links in the show notes and whatnot, but what do we get out of the app, or how does it work?
Yeah, so I think really the gap that the app is filling in the intuitive eating world is that a lot of people, when they start to understand intuitive eating conceptually, day to day, they still feel a little bit lost. And the folks who are lucky enough or fortunate enough to have access to support, like, you know, a therapist or a certified intuitive eating counselor, that's a really powerful piece of support that they have. But there's not really a way for clinicians to support their clients between appointments, or again, just to get that day-to-day kind of partnership. And so we wanted to create an app that was kind of like a coach that you could carry around in your pocket, and that would always give you something that had related to intuitive eating. So in the app, we have daily kind of mini lessons. So you can get kind of your daily hit of something intuitive eating. And those daily lessons are really the building blocks to, you know, these larger transformations in your mindset and in your habits. I think they're also really a huge part of intuitive eating is just like learning about yourself, kind of learning about your own psychology and your own behavior. And those lessons are really a tool for you to, they're really a mirror, you know, a tool for you to understand, you know, why am I doing this? Why am I feeling this way? And then we also have a lot of like daily interactive check-ins so that you can start to actually put, you know, intuitive eating principles into practice and are thinking through meals and moments after meals and, you know, moments when you feel triggered and issues that you're having with movement or with body image and really work through those moments in a way that is, you know, is more intuitive eating than diet culture. And I think there's so many digital tools that we can use to like personalize an experience. And I think ultimately what we're working towards, and this is aspirational, this is not where we're at right now, but what we're ultimately working towards is kind of this, like you can carry like a lease around in your pocket and everyone can have like a little words of wisdom from a lease every day in whatever their context is.
That's great. Great description.
I was going to say, Elise, is there anything as Caitlin is speaking that you want to add or that you're thinking of that maybe wasn't touched on?
Well, one of the thoughts I have is people need to understand why they have to challenge diet culture. They have to look at the psychology that is behind intuitive eating, which is so much of it has to do with autonomy and making their own decisions and seeing how diet culture gets them to disconnect from their own wisdom and how it may typically will ultimately lead to a level of rebellion. You know, you're telling me what to do. You know, in the beginning, you follow some sort of plan, diet, restriction, and it's, oh, this is great. I'm being so good. And then one day you just can't do it anymore. And some of it is the deprivation that, you know, diet culture puts out there. You only want to be eating these foods, but you shouldn't be eating those foods. But it basically is telling you what to do. And rather than intuitive eating being a form of uplifting your autonomy, the fact that you have this wisdom, that you were typically born with this wisdom. It's just been, you've been so distracted from it and taken away from it by diet culture. So it really gives you a reason to say, yeah, I don't want to be part of that anymore. I want to be part of something that honors me, respects my own, you know, wise person inside of me. So I think that that's a piece of it that's important, too. It's why should we stop, you know, dieting? Why should we stop restricting? Why? And so it goes deeper into the psychology and into the social justice pieces of it, too.
That's incredible. And I think that's, as a clinician myself and as a provider with a, you know, a team of providers, it's great to know there's going to be an app out there, because there are some clients that we work with that really want apps. And obviously when they're working with us, we're trying to really lean into the introspective awareness. But I think people like to see that tangible, like, what am I doing? And hearing like those check-ins and stuff. Is there, and maybe this will be an update in the future, if not, but is there the ability for clinicians to see what clients are doing on the app? Or can I request that in advance for a future app update?
You can absolutely request it. You wouldn't be the first. It's absolutely on the roadmap.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's going to be almost one of the most important things, because so many people do find intuitive eating through a professional who's supporting them. And I'll say too, I think that just in general, and to your comment, Sam, about apps, I think so many of like diet culture apps are, there's so much about, you know, looking outside, like looking outside yourself, looking to someone else, like, am I doing this right? Am I following the rules? Like, how am I tracking against these metrics? And so that was a huge part of how can we build an app that actually helps you go like inside? How can you not be looking outward and looking to these rules or creating rules for yourself, but how can you get to know, you know, what's actually going on for you on the inside? And that's a challenge with technology sometimes too, especially the way we're used to working with it. But I think we've done, we've really like sewn that into the fabric of the app, and I'm really excited to see how people respond to that. And I think, I just think I'm such a psychology nerd. I just think it's amazing to like learn about my own psychology and what's going on and why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I think this app is a really powerful tool to help people do that.
Yes. Well, I'm definitely excited to dive into it because that was a question I kind of had for you guys, but you really just touched on it, is how so much of our world, especially as technology and AI and all of these things are enhancing, it's like people or bots doing things for us, right? And like any question about nutrition or macros or anything, people are typing in these like massive calorie meal plans and like all of this stuff. And it's like, how do we turn inward? How do we continue to focus on that? And so to know that there's going to be a piece of technology out there that as an intuitive eating counselor, I can fully trust and know that there is not a lick of diet culture in it. That makes me so happy because I do have clients that will maybe want some type of app that, you know, they'll take a picture of what they're eating to then track like how they're feeling after the meal. Maybe they're working on feeling their fullness or their hunger cues and just really tapping into that. But I'm always hesitant to have them use anything unless it's something I know exactly what it is, because it can easily have diet culture, you know, interwoven into it. So
I think official intuitive, sorry, Caitlin, yeah. The official intuitive eating app, because there could be a lot of other people who are, you know, going to try to.
I don't know. How do you deal with that, Elise, when you see like, do you eat? Because like, okay, I'm just going off tangent now, but I know when I talked to Evelyn years and years ago, I hold on to this quote she gave me of like, don't bother engaging with someone unless they're reachable or teachable. But when you stumble upon or get sent, because I'm sure you do, get sent accounts that it'll be like intuitive eating weight loss coach. Like, do you just say, I don't have time to deal with this? Or like, how do you cope with all of this?
I actually do respond to some people.
Yeah.
I write to them. And yeah. I mean, I'm very busy. I have a lot of things on my plate.
You sure do. That's why I'm like, do you have time for this? How do you do this?
And there have been a couple of people who have said they want to be intuitive eating or certified intuitive eating counselors. I talked to one woman, young woman, and she was like, oh, no, I've never read the book. It's like, you know what? I just don't think this is the time for you to be doing that. But I think what's underneath some of the questions you're asking right now is that I have some very deep feelings when somebody tries to steal what we're doing, but then mm-hmm. misrepresent it.
Yes.
I will not name it, but there is an app out there, a very popular, successful app that is using my words. Mm-hmm. Evelyn and I decided at one point to download this particular app, and just so as we could see what it was coming up with, saying it wasn't the diet app. Well, guess what? It was, and then claiming that it was psychological and using some of my words. We actually contacted a intellectual property lawyer to say, well, what do we do about it? And he was like, you just can't do anything about it. They're too powerful. They're too, you know, you don't have the time, the money, the emotional energy to deal with it. So instead, we're building this app. You know, this will be
then build this one and give them the middle finger. I know exactly who you're speaking of without even saying the name.
Yes.
Well, I feel like I have to ask you this, Elise. I know this isn't necessarily related to the app, but you were talking about like why is it important to stop dieting, and you may be sick of talking about this because we are in the Ozempic era, and I think there's so much misinformation out there. There's also this thought that if a physician is prescribing me this drug for intentional weight loss, that it's not dieting. It's a medication, and I should be taking this, heavy air quotes on should be, to cure my obesity, heavy air quotes on everything. I want listeners to hear from you. Obviously, we're not speaking about people taking Ozempic if they have diabetes. We're talking about people that are deciding, I am going to take these GLP-1s for intentional weight loss. I have people talking about, it turns off the food noise, the food noise. We hear this all the time. How do you respond to these people? Obviously, there's no guilt or shame for anyone listening to this that is actively taking these drugs, considering taking these drugs, has taken these drugs in the past. But there's so much out there of people saying that this is not diet culture because it's a medication prescribed by a physician. So any thoughts or wisdom you can drop for us, I would love to hear it from you.
So first of all, I do believe in body autonomy, and people can make their own choices, but how can they make a choice without informed consent, without knowing really what's happening for them if they're going to take this drug? And I'm glad you mentioned this. I have clients who take it for diabetes at a very small dose, gets their blood sugar even. Wonderful. That, and it's been studied for about 20 years for that. So this is, you know, legitimate. I think that we're all looking for safety in this world. And so when people are going to something that's going to help them feel like they'll be accepted, they'll have a better chance of a relationship, they'll have a better chance of getting a job, they're going to fit in, nobody's going to judge them or bully them, I understand why they want to do this. However, they're not being given all the answers and the truth of what's behind it. And the medical community, sadly, is very weight-centric. And there's kind of this narrative that if you lose weight, you'll be healthier, which is not based on any good science at all. I was with a good friend whose husband is a psychiatrist, and he said, well, yeah, but we all know, we were taught in medical school, you know, that it's better to be thinner. And so they don't even, doctors are elevated for many good reasons. I mean, thank God for doctors, but they really don't know what they're doing when they're, you know, giving out this drug and pretending, they think that they're doing something really wonderful for their patients. What they're not understanding is they're putting them into severe malnutrition and starvation. This drug takes away signals. This drug slows down stomach emptying, even goes to a point of gastroparesis, which is paralysis of the stomach. It can create pancreatitis, gastritis, you know, doing things to the body, possible thyroid cancer, things to the body while it's giving them what they think is going to be their best life. But here's the gaslighting, and here's there's so many medical things, but they're telling people that take this drug and everything will be wonderful. Well, the studies are already showing that people are gaining weight back even on the drug, and you have to take it for the rest of your life. So people are going to end up having to fall off of it because they have terrible side effects, or they can't access it, or they can't afford it, or eventually, which I think is going to happen, it'll be taken off the market. And then what's going to happen to people who have had that moment where they lost all this weight and they started to feel good about themselves, unfortunately, because diet culture says you can only feel good about yourself if you match this ideal, you know, size, shape, whatever. And then they gain all the weight back. We are setting up eating disorders. We are setting up, my fear is people being in deep depression and when that could happen as a result of this. So my point is that it's, I'm calling it gaslighting, and I'm calling it brainwashing too, to believe that the only way you can have a better life is if you're in a smaller body, and here's the way to do it. And when you say it's, you know, not dieting. Well, what is dieting? Dieting is reducing your intake below what your body needs. So that's maybe semi-starvation. This drug is putting people into deep starvation. I'm sure you know about that Minnesota starvation study, and the Ansel Keys study, which for listeners who don't know, it was done during World War II, looking at the results of starvation that happened to people in camps and famine in Europe. And they took 18 young men of superior, this is the way they quote it, superior mental and physical health, and put them in a year study where first 3 months they let them eat normally, and then they starved them for 6 months. And everything changed for them. I mean, they ended up with severe eating disorders. These are people who had, you know, no problems with eating, and depression, and low energy, and low sexual drive, and they became, some of them at the end of the study, when they were given more free access, became bulimic, couldn't stop eating. So it's just starvation does terrible physical harm and mental harm. And that's what this drug is doing. And that's what I talk to people about. Again, you want to take it, go ahead. And you need to have this informed consent. And that's a piece of, you know, I say it's against the Hippocratic Oath if you're not going to give, you know, this consent, knowing everything, giving a chance for consent, knowing everything. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Just to tack on to the GLP-1 conversation, I think one thing that nobody talks about is that I think sometimes these GLP-1 drugs, which again, I'm all with Elise on, you know, it's about informed consent, body autonomy, you know, do what you think is right for you. I just think that if you are going down that route of taking a GLP-1, there's such a risk that you are going to ignore the underlying issues that are going on in terms of not just your relationship with food, but your relationship with body, kind of how you relate to yourself. And it's kind of, you know, my position is kind of very strongly, like, if you're going to go on a GLP-1, go on a GLP-1, you know, make sure you know the facts, but also make sure that you are also working on your relationship with food and your relationship with your body. And, you know, you can practice, and there are things that you can learn from intuitive eating while you're doing that. It can only benefit you to bring, you know, to bring more intuitive eating into your life, whether you're on one of these drugs or not. I think one of the dangers that we don't talk about is the risk of just ignoring what's going on. And these GLP-1s kind of acting as this kind of like surface level, like Band-Aid, where we're not getting to the root of the issues. And I think people are shortchanging themselves if they're not also pursuing that kind of deeper healing.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and I want to address the food noise question. Mm-hmm. It's so cute. I mean, not cute, but when I'll ask a client, I'll say, what do you think about this food noise? And they go, I don't have food noise anymore as an intuitive eater.
Exactly.
First of all, one level of food noise is I'm hungry. I mean, that's, you know.
We all get food noise and we should. That's a cue.
But they're talking about the obsession, craving. Yep. And once you're an intuitive eater and all foods, as I said, are emotionally equivalent, you make unconditional, you know, permission to eat whatever you want, then you're not haunted by all those thoughts of, oh, I wish I could have that. Oh, I'm at that party and they're all eating dessert. I can't have it, you know, that kind of thing. So the food noise, we have to separate it from food signal, you know, signals that are legitimate, exactly, to this psychological response to deprivation and wishing. And well, these are people who have often been on many, people who go on them have often been on many, many diets where they were deprived. And they're still, you know, healing from the deprivation if they choose not to be on a diet again, and then they go on the GLP-1 and the deprivation also, you know, starts again.
Yes.
So. That app we did not mention before, I mean, so, and so many others like it, so many people now are doing that with a GLP-1. And it just, to me, it's just like, it's taking this like so-called antidote with the poison, kind of, you know, you're still doing the things that got you to the place, you know, mentally, emotionally where you are right now. And now you're taking this GLP-1 and thinking that all your problems are going to be solved. And it's really dangerous. I can see, we're already seeing eating disorder rates growing. And I think it's even understated from where it is right now.
Absolutely. And thank you for addressing the food noise as well, because you echoed my exact thoughts, Elise, of that's what intuitive eating does. Like, I've seen people talking about it on social. I saw this one video of someone being like, vacation when you're on a GLP-1. And it was like, I don't eat to a place of like feeling physically unpleasant, which again, we all do as humans. That's a part of the eating experience. But I think they were dealing with some more restriction binging when they were not on the medication. They're like, I come out to the beach and enjoy my morning coffee and enjoy being present. I enjoy my food. I enjoy going for a walk. I'm like, this is literally a video one of my clients has sent me. So I tried to like explain that to people, that when you walk an intuitive eating journey, that's what quieting the food noise, what people are saying this drug is doing, we're making peace with food. We have unconditional permission to eat. So there's not going to be the obsession of how many calories can I have this? What am I eating next? What can I have? Do I need to pack my food? Blah, blah, blah. All that stuff. We lose that noise. So I'm so excited to hear about this app, to see this app come out, and for more people to get this. If it gets more people introduced to intuitive eating, which it sounds like it absolutely will, I think it's going to be so, so amazing. And I'm so excited. So for our listeners, can you tell us, when can we expect this app to drop, and when can we be ready to go to our app store and hit download?
Can I record three different versions of this and then
sure can. Everyone.
I mean, the ride of like creating this app has just been so, there's been so much. And so I wish I could tell you definitively. I want to say by the end of this year, that is absolutely our goal. And at the moment we are on track for that. So sometime in December. However, we have had enough experiences creating this app to know that, you know, anything can happen. And so it could be early next year, but it'll be in the next, I will say 4 months. I don't think we'll fall outside that. And I think the only reason we're not releasing it right now is like, we really want to get it right. And we really want to, you know, I personally, you know, want to live up to what intuitive eating is and to what Elise and Evelyn have built. And so we want to make sure that what we're giving people is really true to intuitive eating and really and you know, doesn't let down kind of Elise's legacy and can be really supportive to people also. So we're trying to get it out as quickly as possible. I think expect it in December. And cross your fingers.
and we're going into beta testing in the next 2 weeks, I would say, right? Whatever beta testing.
Yes. Yes. Whatever that means. I'm ready to beta test over here. I don't know. I'm excited to try it. I know I'm on that list to test whenever it's ready to be tested. So, and that's all technology, right? Like it's like house construction too. They say it's going to be done in August and then, you know, come October, you're like, okay, now we're moving in. Stuff happens. But I think that's the beauty of, you know, not rushing it, taking your time, making sure it's exactly what you want it to be. And it's exciting, whether it be end of 2025 or into 2026, perfect time for the new year, new you bullshit, when it's loud and proud in diet culture, to have that intuitive eating app at the top of the list. So is there anything either of you would like to leave our listeners with today? I know we talked about a lot of different things, but if they walk away from this episode and remember one or two things, anything you would like to leave our listeners with?
Well, I want to say, as I said earlier, we're all looking to feel safe. And I think when we are tuned into ourselves and not trying to look outward, we're going to feel a sense of self-trust and safety. And ultimately, that gives us freedom. It gives us freedom to be out there and do the things that we want to be doing in life, rather than, as you said, Sam, you know, thinking about every calorie and being good or bad or whatever. Mm-hmm. It is. So it's very important to understand that the goal of intuitive eating is that freedom to have that self-trust and to feel safe around eating and your body throughout the rest of your life. So that's what my last word. Caitlin, do you have anything further?
I'm just so grateful to be able to work with Elise and take what she and Evelyn have built and bring it to more people. I think all of us can agree. I think all of us each individually, you know, wish we had found intuitive eating like earlier on in our lives. And are now working towards helping others find it earlier, you know, before they, you know, get to the eating disorder stage, or before they waste any more time going down a road that only brings them, you know, more pain. And so I'm really excited to bring this to more people, get people more aware of it and bring this work out so that people can discover it.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah. I've never had a client not say to me, so all my clients say, I wish I would have found this work sooner, no matter what age they are, right? And I think that is such a testament to intuitive eating and all that it does. And it's not just intuitive eating, it's intuitive living. Like you said, Elise, it impacts every aspect of your life, every relationship, your mm-hmm. thoughts, your feelings. Like it truly impacts everything. So thank you, Elise, for co-founding such an incredible paradigm. And thank you, Caitlin, for helping bring it to life with Elise.
Thank you for having us and spreading it to all of your listeners, which is great.
Of course. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, helping people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to social media and give us a follow at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. And if you resonated with today's episode and want more professional support, please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. This is where you can get your benefits checked to see if your health insurance will fully cover that one-on-one nutrition counseling with our team. And we also have so many other virtual resources there. So again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com for all things Find Food Freedom and to get those health insurance benefits checked. If you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody that you think needs to hear it. The more that you share this podcast, the more that this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. Again, thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again soon on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast.